Okay, we're ready to go. That's good. Fantastic. See that through the window? That's called sunshine. That is fantastic. That is incredible. And it is the winter solstice this weekend. That means that gradually the days will get longer. Gradually, very slowly, the days will get longer. And it won't be so dark and cold when you've got to put your toe out of bed in the mornings. Happy birthday to the Uniting Church today. 48 candles on the Uniting Church cake. 48 years ago, the congregations, Methodists and Presbyterians, well, most of them, joined together. Guess what? I said congregation. Yep. Brian, don't you listen to everything I say. Just because you've got a microphone, you can heckle me from the woman. You told me I had to stick to my script, and I was. Now I'm not. Talking about something that's totally different, have you read David Pryor's letter? If you haven't, save it for when you get home. We've only got one packet of tissues down the front, and there's a fair chance that if you read that letter from Reverend David Pryor, you will need some. There is some powerful information in that letter, and Ian will be talking to us today about power, but let's right now sing about the power of your love. One, two, three, four. Lord, I come to you, let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. Lord, I come to know the weaknesses I see.
Spirit leads me on.
done, beautiful. One of the things that we have learnt about the Uniting Church, and if I remember correctly, I'm deviating from my script now, Ian, sorry. If I remember correctly, I think it was meant that there is definitely a rule that it has to be called the Uniting Church and not the United Church, so that it is still an ongoing thing. Was that right? Was that? Sometimes I remember stuff. And so one of the things about the Uniting Church was that there were groups together. And I thought that if we sang this next song, May We Be One, that's a bit of talking about the Uniting Church, a bit of talking about us and the fact that we are together. That's a really nice entrance. Sharon has been unwell for a little while, and we are so pleased to have Sharon here today.
And Reese.
And Reese, of course, and Reese. Yep, yep. That was a perfect entrance, Sharon. That was just right. You came in at exactly the right time. Let's sing May We Be One. You may sit down if you want to, or you may stand up. It depends on what you want to do. I can't remember where it starts.
We are joined.
Okay, that's right. Here we go.
May we be one, bound in love forever, growing close together day by day, growing as God fills us with His life. We are joined in Him. He makes us one. May we be one as our Father planned it. May the love of Jesus make us strong. No one can harm us when He is near. He has brought us peace, He makes us one. May we be one, Jesus' truth to bind us, with His body He unites us all.
Some notices. It's come to our attention that at the end of this week, there is a Friday. Friday Friends happens on Friday. So Friday Friends will be this Friday, and it will be with a bit of a winter theme, with a bit of a... in other words, it would be soup. And that's a super idea. We'll also need to point out that I've got to make sure I draw your attention to the point in here in the newsletter about the Uniting Church. Ian had this idea that he would put this little quote in I think of the Uniting Church like my family. Sometimes I love it, sometimes I hate it, sometimes I can't wait to get away from it, and sometimes I need it. That is such a good quote about the Uniting Church. It is here for us. Sometimes we hate it, sometimes we need it, sometimes we love it. It is there for us. That is an amazing quote. Thank you for pointing that one out, Ian. I love that. It's just a fantastic little thing. Don't forget, if you love to have a cup of tea or a coffee after church, you can help us, you can partake, but you can help us out also by putting your name on the roster to help at some stage. Later on this year, Sunday the 3rd of August, we're going to have a Vines Variety afternoon on a Sunday afternoon, the whole idea being that we get together on a Sunday afternoon for a bit of fun, a bit of a cup of tea and a chat, because sometimes the weather isn't always sunshine and beautiful, and during winter time it's a good idea to get out with some friends. There'll be music, there'll be quizzes, there'll be singing, and there'll be afternoon tea. Just at 2 o'clock on the 3rd of August, we might even have an amazing guest piano player. That's a possibility as well, and we're looking forward to that. Entry is by donation, and that is to support Pantry 152. Okay, let us sing. Oh, no, wait a minute. Ross is first. Aren't you, Ross? Yep. Ross comes in now, and then we sing Firm Foundation. Yep, that's good. Is that right?
Yeah, you're right.
I flicked two pages at once. That's okay. Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Ross.
Okay, readings this morning. Two readings. The first one is from Kings 19:1-15. Elijah flees from Jezebel. Ahab told Jezebel that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." He was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant and thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting the mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. There came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram." Now, second reading is from Luke 8, verses 26 to 39. Then they arrived at the region of Gerasene, which is opposite Galilee. He stepped out on the shore. A man from the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had not worn any clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, shouting, "What have you done to me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded an unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him, and he was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon in the wilds. Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. He begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to go out and let them enter these. So he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, the herd stampeded down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Then, when the swine herds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then the people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then the whole throng of people of the surrounding region of Gerasene asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with a great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's sing. "Jesus, you're my firm foundation." Now, there is in the verses, there is sort of an echo part, which we will probably sing as blokes and then the ladies sing it. But sometimes I sing it all because I like singing all the words. You can choose. You don't have to do the echo. See, if it says men and women, you can just say, "You're going to sing, I have a living hope, I have a living hope, I have a future." That's all okay. Nobody's going to come along and give you a tick or a cross saying you've done it good or you've done it not good. So be happy with it, however it goes. That's all okay. Let's start. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Let's stand and go. One, two, here we go.
Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word.
Here we go.
I have a living hope.
I have a living hope.
I have a future.
I have a future.
God has a plan for me.
God has a plan for me.
Of this I'm sure. Of this I'm sure.
Would you like to talk to us, Ian? And I promise I won't interrupt. You may be seated.
Have you ever tried to run away from something? Two blokes were out walking one day, crossing a paddock, when they were spotted by an enraged bull. And instantly they ran towards the nearest fence, and the snorting bull followed them in hot pursuit. And it was soon apparent that they were not going to make it to the fence. Terrified, one shouted to the other, "Put up a prayer, Bruce. We're in for it." And Bruce answered, "I can't. I've never prayed in public in my life." "But you must, Bruce," implored his companion. "The bull is gaining on us." "All right," panted Bruce. "I'll pray the only prayer I know. It's the one my father used to pray at the table. O Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." Let us pray. Lord, open our ears and our hearts and our spirits that we may hear your word for us today. Amen. Have you ever tried to run away? I tried to run away from some homework one evening when I was 11 years old. And a few hours later, my father shook me awake and said, "Now see what you've done? You've burnt the shearing shed down." And I woke up to the noise of water pumps and shouting voices, and I looked out the window behind me and I could see the red glow of flames through the trees outside, and I wanted to curl up and die. I was so afraid of what would happen next. And that was Elijah, how he felt too. He just had the high of a big win when the prophets of Baal had all been killed. And now Elijah was afraid. He was running for his life from evil King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, who wanted revenge, wanted to kill him. So into the desert he went, and he sat down under a lonely tree, and he prayed. And he said, "I've had enough, Lord. Just let me die." We can understand that people can get to that stage when they've just had enough. And especially when they're worn out and they're afraid for their future. And Elijah the prophet, as we heard in the Bible reading, was twice woken up from his sleep under the desert tree by an angel who provided some water and some bread, some food. And so, refreshed by his sleep, strengthened by the food and the water, Elijah headed off again, further deep into the desert mountains, until he arrived at Mount Horeb, the Mount of God, where he went into a cave and spent the night. And here's where it gets interesting, because God said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Ian? Adam? Eve?" In other words, God is saying to us, as he said to Elijah, "What is your purpose? Now, why are we here?" Because if we know what our purpose is as an individual, as a congregation, as a Christian, we can cope much better with the normal ups and downs of life, like getting older and our bodies not being quite like they were, or being stuck in a long drought like the farmers in much of South Australia have been. Having a purpose keeps us on track. Some of you, no one here is old enough for this, but you may remember hearing about the old 1646, so you're not that old, are you? 1646 Westminster Catechism, which is a series of questions and answers to teach the basics of the Christian faith. And it begins like this in the language of those days. "What is the chief end of man?" Answer: man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's how they described our Christian purpose back then. It's to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. Not to be afraid. And that's why we're here. That's why this church is here. You see, it's not about us. It's about God. And do you know what your particular purpose is? Have you ever sat down or gone for a walk, climbed a hill, prayerfully nutted out with God, with God's help, what your purpose is? Well, if you have, that's great, because you know where you're headed. You've got a reason for going somewhere. And Elijah was quite despondent when he answered God. He said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me." To kill me too. You can just hear him begging God to do something dramatic. Because Elijah is very grumpy. You know, you can hear him talking with a downturned bottom lip, and he's had enough. And if you've ever got grumpy with God, then you're in good company. Well, then God said to Elijah, "Go out, stand on the mountain. I want you to be there when I pass by." So can you imagine what Elijah is thinking now? Was he thinking, "Well, it's about time you showed up," or "Where were you earlier?" Or perhaps Elijah is thinking, "Will I die now too because God is going to show his face to me?" Because that's what they thought. If they saw God, they'd die. What would you think if you heard a voice that you just knew was the voice of God, and it was telling you to go and stand out in the street or on the side of a hill somewhere while God passed by? Would you do that? Well, Elijah did. He stood there while a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks. God was not in the wind. And nor was God in an earthquake which followed, nor in the fire. And then after the fire came a gentle whisper of a breeze, the sound of sheer silence, the still small voice of God. What is the sound of silence? It's a 1964 song written by Paul Simon, sung by Simon and Garfunkel. But that was about the inability of people to communicate emotionally. And yet, if we stop and wait and listen, then in the inner voices and ideas in our head, we just may hear God speaking to us in the sound of silence. Sometimes when people pray some places, they shout as if God's dead. They demand that God will do whatever it is that they want. But that's not letting God be God. And if God is heard in a gentle whisper, then God hears even our whispered prayers. And isn't that encouraging? We don't have to shout. Unfortunately, we're often deaf to God because we get distracted by a multitude of other voices. Some are soft and seductive, others are loud and raucous. But all they're doing is drawing us away from Jesus, away from God. The message that God wants to get into us is a simple one. And it's what God quietly said to Elijah: go back and anoint Hazael as the new king. In other words, God said to Elijah, your purpose is not to run away. Your purpose is to face your difficulties and get on with life. Obey me, follow me, love me, praise me, trust me. So God gave Elijah that purpose, to go and anoint a new king, to not be afraid, but rather to tell what God was doing for the people. And that's the same message that we hear in Luke 8 around the Sea of Galilee. It's a different story, of course, as Jesus hops off the boat to be met by a madman who had lots of demons with him. He's naked. Would have been filthy dirty. He's living in a cemetery. He's constantly breaking the chains they tried to bind him with. Because this man is not silent. He shouts at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? We'd say he had a severe mental illness now. And in a story which must have really scared the local farmers, the legion of evil spirits is said to come out of the man and go into a large herd of pigs which rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. And then when people came out of the town to see what had caused this astonishing economic disaster, they see the man sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. People are nearly always afraid when confronted with something that is new and different, because that can be scary. And the people in the town or the countryside, they were afraid of this man that was now sitting quietly. He was dressed and in his right mind. They may have been scared of him before, but this new thing was also scary. It frightened them because they could see that the breakdown of the strongholds of evil had taken place. They could see that this man had been healed from a devastating, debilitating mental condition, something that kept him away from society, cut off from his family and friends, forced to live out in the horrible cemetery, scary place. We're often afraid of cemeteries today. We try to dress them up nicely with flowers and lawns, nice memorials. That's because we don't quite know how to deal with death or mental illness or demon possession or sin and evil. And so we deny it, we defer it, we push it away, we avoid it as much as we can. We bluster and say, "Oh, I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens." Well, this man amongst the tombs in the region of the Gerasenes found not death, but new life when Jesus healed him. And we also find new life when we're touched by the risen Jesus. And we too go from being spiritually dead to having life with a capital L, life in all its fullness, as John 10:10 says. And we are transformed. Which brings me back to this. What's our purpose? It wasn't the end of the story after Jesus healed this wild man in amongst the tombs of the cemetery. You see, Jesus sent the man away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." In other words, the man was given a new purpose for living, just as Elijah was given a new purpose many centuries earlier. It would have been nice to follow Jesus around, listen to more of his teachings. But that wasn't his purpose for living for this man. His purpose was to return home and to tell how much Jesus had done for him. Now, do you think he would have been effective in passing on that message? Of course he was. They knew what he'd been like, quite mad, demon-possessed. And they could see what he was like now, clothed and in his right mind. So, what's your purpose for living? Is it to go and anoint a new king, like God quietly told Elijah to do? Well, probably not. Charles might have something to say about that. But can you tell your town, your family, your friends, your neighbours, the people you meet during the day, during the week, can you tell them what Jesus has done and is doing for you? Can you share how he has taken that empty jar that is you and filled it with his love and now helps you pour out that love on everyone you meet? And it may be that you don't feel able to do that because you feel like you've been rejected and abandoned by God and left all alone. Well, I want to encourage you to stop and to listen for God's voice, because it won't be a loud, shouty voice. It's much more likely to be a gentle, a quiet, and inner stirring within. And as you listen for that quiet voice, the still small voice of God that stirs you up inside and carries great conviction, my prayer is that you will see that no one is ever abandoned by God. No one is ever left all alone, because God is always with us. God never stops loving us. God never stops helping and encouraging us. We may not be able to jump the great heights or do a myriad of other things like we used to when we were younger. But God still loves us and cares for us. And that's what we can still continue to tell other people about. Because every one of us has a story to tell. It might be a story from yesterday, or it might be a story from a long time ago, when they were 11 or something. But if this is your authentic story, then every one of us can get alongside someone and tell them what we think God might be saying to us, because we've stopped and we've listened and we've heard God speak to us. So that's our purpose, to simply, without fuss, to tell someone else about how Jesus has helped us. And in case anyone happens to be wondering what happened after the shearing shed burnt down all those years ago, I want to reassure you that I am not an arsonist or a pyromaniac. It was actually spontaneous combustion that led to the fire, although it took me about another 30 years or so to talk to my dad, to talk about it and ask for him to forgive me for what had to be done afterwards. Now, God's forgiveness came for me many centuries ago when Jesus rose from the dead. But I only knew real forgiveness and was in my right mind when Dad said, "I forgave you years ago, Ian." And actually, he went on to say, "Besides, we got a new and much better shed out of it as a result. Don't worry about it." So I wonder, can you gently share this week with one or two people or more how God has touched you and transformed your life because you've heard him speak in his still small voice to you? It might be a story like mine about God's forgiveness. It might be a story about how God has healed you, like that man who'd been living in the cemetery. But whatever your story is, I encourage you to gently share it with someone this week, because our stories are powerful and our purpose is to share them. And if that's too much for you, then simply pray. Pray that someone else will hear God speaking to them, because you never know. It might be just what they need to bring them peace. And that might even bring you peace too. Remember, God's voice is not heard in a powerful wind or in an earthquake or in a fire. God's powerful voice is revealed in the gentle whisper. And God is whispering things like, "Come, follow me, because I love you. I sent Jesus to bring you back to me." Now, what are you going to take home from this message today, I wonder? Have a little think. Let us pray. Gracious God, you reveal your power in ways that keeps surprising us. In the gentle whispers of the night, in the sighs of a longing heart, in the healing and hope you bring to desperate souls and bodies, you show us how much you love us. Touch each of us with your Spirit today, we pray, and empower us with a holy discontent that gives us real purpose for our living now. Don't make us wait until we wander around the tombs of the dead, but rather fill us with the fire of your love and equip us with the tools of courage and faith and witness to accept you as our Saviour and to live life as powerful witnesses for you today. Amen. And we'll sing another song.
You know, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. I wish I'd written that song, but we'll all sing it together anyway. Wait while these guys get themselves... Oh, I know what it... I realised that I didn't say in the notices, if you were looking for the what to do with your stewardship envelope, there is a box out there, or it can just pop into the basket anyway at the door. So that was why I was a little mixed up. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. Let's go. 1, 2, 3.
Loving and generous God, we thank you that everything we have comes from you. Today we thank you for this opportunity to return some of what we have received to you for your blessing. If we have given with a sense of pride, forgive us and increase our sense of gratitude. If we have given reluctantly, encourage us so that our faith may grow and enable us to be more generous. May all our gifts of money, food, and time be used to bring life, hope, help, and love, so that people here and elsewhere may be greatly blessed. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I lead you in the prayers for ourselves and others, I invite us all to think about the people and the situations that are currently heavy upon our hearts. Our concerns for ourselves and our loved ones. Our concerns for those close to us who live in our neighbourhood, our city, our state or our nation. And our concerns for the world beyond our shores. For the people who are far from us, yet whom we know need much prayer. And we'll end by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. Loving God, we pray for our families, for health, peace, and our day-by-day needs. Where there is illness, bring your healing. Where there is inequality, bring innovation, respect, understanding, and effective solutions that our hope may grow. And loving and gracious God, we pray for our city, our state, our nation, and all the members of our different levels of government. Equip them with an awareness of their responsibilities to others. Equip them with the skills to make wise and ethical decisions. And fill them with a deep sense of compassion. Compassion that helps them consider all the consequences of their choices. Particularly for those who have less power, such as the poor, the unemployed, and the underemployed, and those who are very young or very old. And we also pray for our world. In these stressful times when some nations are withdrawing into themselves and long-established trading conventions are being overthrown and diplomacy is being replaced with armed conflicts, so some of us are fearful of our futures. And while we are grateful that we live on a big island, terror and destruction is never far away. We pray that the senseless destruction of lives and property through warfare will quickly end. And God of peace, help those who use missiles and bombs and drones to deliver sudden and catastrophic damage. Can they see a fresh way ahead without the damage being done to families and infrastructure and to the innocent? Stop the vicious attacks which build resentment and hate and retaliation, and rather encourage cool heads, rational discussion, and behavioural choices that bring lasting peace. We pray especially for an end to the war between Israel and the Palestinians in the wasteland that was Gaza. An end to the escalating conflict between Israel and Iran. And an end to the Russian invasion of Ukraine. God, end all these ongoing disputes over another's territory. And God of grace and mercy, may nations see that strength speaks louder in the quiet voices of diplomacy, rather than through showy parades of military might and the noisy sounds of sudden, damaging and loud explosions on the killing fields of another's territory. May our nation's leaders hear the soft voices of the powerless, so decision makers hear them and are moved to act purposely and compassionately. Not to make the mega rich even wealthier, but to make the necessary adjustments so that no child lives in poverty and excellent health care is delivered to the sick and the aged in a timely way, that people may have purpose in their life and bring healing to the hurting too, we pray. We also pray that we who are privileged with abundant health and wealth will be motivated to look outward and not inward, and use the power we have to hear God's call upon our lives, so each of us can play our part in bringing national and international unity, and also to bring unity within and between family members and our neighbours, rather than inflaming division that leads to greater greed and inequality. God of the whole earth, may there be widespread and abundant rain this coming week, so that the thirsty soil is refreshed and anxious farmers can find hope for their futures. Merciful God, forgive us if we are slow to hear your still small voice of calm. Help us to share love with the world around us as effectively as Jesus did, and do it with great compassion, with much sensitivity, and with such unconditional inclusiveness that each of us leaves the world in a better place tomorrow than it was yesterday. And now, in a few moments of silence, help each of us to commit those people and situations that rest heavily upon us into your loving care, to be healed, to be transformed, and to be filled with love, joy, peace, and hope. We ask these prayers in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our prayer of peace. Let's sing it. Sing it seated, and we will sing verse 1, verse 2, and verse 1 again. As we get to verse 1, when we repeat it, we'll stand up, hey? Except I'll stand up all the time.
May the Father of love stir you deep in your heart. May the Son bring his tears to your crying. May the Spirit of love rise anew every day, and compassion flare up in your soul. May you live day by day, and for those whom you meet, may you care though your heart will be broken. May your voice be as one with the cry of the poor, and the hungry be filled with your food.
Let's stand and sing.
May the Father of life stir you deep in your heart. May the Son bring his tears to your crying. May the Spirit of love rise anew every day, and compassion flare up in your soul.
As we go out into the world, may we regularly pause in our busyness and listen for the quiet voice of God, that still small voice that speaks to us through the sound of sheer silence. May we hear God's gentle words of peace and blessing and forgiveness and hope and love and joy and encouragement and grace. For as Teresa of Avila said, Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body, for Christ has no body now on earth but yours. So go now in peace to serve and to love as Christ served and loved and continues to love. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
May the Father of love stir you deep in your heart. May the Son bring his tears to your crying. May the Spirit of love rise in you.